We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and this program originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We're praying the Lord will make our service a blessing to you today. We're opening the service with the Way of Truth singer singing for us, Too Much to Gain, to Lose.
Too many miles behind me, too many trials are through. Behind the mountains, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures awaiting over yonder, and there's too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot burning the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead there's good, clear water, and defeat is one word I don't need. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're thankful for the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So as our service goes forth today, may the Holy Spirit accompany it and make it a blessing to each and to every one. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now we're continuing the musical part of our broadcast today with the selection, Since Jesus is Mine.
Trusting His grace and wisdom divine.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Are You Walking Like Jesus? Or we might word it, Are You Walking With Jesus? How many of us have seen a small boy try to walk like his father? From a spiritual standpoint, our view, there is another in whose steps we are to walk, and that one is Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John chapter 6, our first chapter 2, verse 6, He that saith, He abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. When a person first comes to Jesus for salvation, there are some instantaneous changes that take place, but it is natural for them to retain some habits and actions. I do not speak of knowingly continuing a life of sin, but of habits. However, as we grow and mature in the Lord, there should be a change that begins to take place. One area may be in regard to our speech, for Jesus said, We shall give an account for every idle word that we speak. And we are also instructed in the scriptures about letting our words be few, for in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. And so there are different things where there will be a change as we grow in our Christian experience. A baby will stumble from time to time as it learns to walk, and the Christian may also stumble, as it were, making mistakes, but God will deal with him as he sees and knows the desire of the heart. And again, Christ is our example to go by when it comes to walking the spiritual way. A profession declared, He that saith, those who John refers to in this passage, he saith, and what does he say? He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. To be in Jesus, there is only one way into him, and that is through receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And Jesus is the only Savior that this world has. No, Christianity, true Christianity, is the only one that has a true Savior to offer to the world. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So to be in Christ is to be a new creature and walking in his footsteps. To be in Christ is the only place of salvation. It's the only place of safety, of security, of peace, of happiness, of being right with God, and of being saved from a life of sin and destruction. Joining a church will not do this for you. Only a true experience of salvation will give you the peace, the happiness, the joy, and of being in Christ that you really need to make heaven your home. The benefits of being in Jesus are enormous, but the consequence of not being in him is catastrophe. Where are you today? And I do not say that or ask that to offend, but to cause you to think. Where are you today? Are you in sin or are you in Christ? To be unsaved, you must admit that you are a sinner. If you want to become a Christian, you must admit what your true state is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all stand in need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must know that God loves you and that He cares for you and that He gave His only begotten Son for you. You must believe the gospel with the heart. Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And you must repent of your sins to become a Christian and to be in Christ and to be able to walk with Christ. You must call upon the Lord, for He is indeed the only Savior there is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. You must believe He forgives you when you sincerely ask Him to. Repentance is one thing, but believing is another. And repentance comes first, but when you ask the Lord to forgive you, then you must believe that He does. You must believe that whenever you ask God to forgive you, He does what He said He would do. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how do you go about abiding in Jesus? Well, we must spend time with Him in His Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And if we're going to walk with Jesus, we must walk in the light. And we must study His Word and apply it to our individual heart and life. Men ought always to pray also and not to faint. So studying the Word and praying, having a habit of prayer daily, and we are told the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 3 and verse 16. The first part of that verse says that we are to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, James 3 and 16. Now, the concept of abiding also carries the idea of service. Whenever we get saved, we don't sit down on a stool of do-nothing, but we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Not only does one need to be saved and surrendered to the Lord, but each one needs to be serving the Lord. Love for Christ that manifests itself in service to Christ should become a natural thing with us. We notice our text again, He that saith, He abideth in Him, in Christ, Himself also should walk even as He walked, even as Christ walked. And the word ought means that we are indebted to Him or that we are obligated. It's bound. It's something that is required. John is telling us that to pay a debt that we owe to God, we must be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we read in Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I have no reference now to our buying salvation. Such a thing as that is impossible. Salvation is a gift from God. But we are to be fruitful, fruit-bearing Christians. We are to be doers of the Word. Again, looking at our text, we are to walk as Jesus Christ walked. Jesus is the standard for which we are to strive for. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And at this point in our message, I'd like to quote from the late C.W. Naylor. The Christian life is a life full of warmth and strength and beauty. The law of that life is love. We are to walk in love. To do this, we must lay aside selfish purposes and desires. And this is not a hard thing to do if we really love the Lord. The basis of all acceptable service is love. God could force us to serve Him had He chosen that way. But that service would never have satisfied the heart of God, nor would it satisfy the heart of the individual. Here is no harshness in His rule. He will not compel us, but we must willingly give our heart and life to Him and willingly serve Him. Jesus thus stated this condition when He said, if you love Me, then you will keep My commandments. Now, he that loveth shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him, and will come and manifest Myself to him. God is love, and we must return His love. We must love Him instead. And be we a few examples from the life of Jesus will help us to understand and to know just how we are to walk. First of all, He placed God and God's will ahead of all things. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work that He has given me to do. John chapter 4 and verse 34. For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. John 6 and 38. Then we remember there in the garden when He was facing the cross, He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thy will be done. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Jesus prayed that prayer three times, but at the third time, He completely surrendered His will to the will of God, and He did what the Lord would have Him to do. He loved all men equally. Yes, Jesus Christ loves all men equally, for He tasted death for every man. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself. And this is after He had healed the man with the withered hand there in the synagogue, and they had found fault with Him. But when Jesus knew that, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. So we read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. So I say Jesus Christ loved all, and He showed no respect of persons to anyone. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And that's what Peter told them there at Jerusalem after they were questioning him about going to Caesarea into the Gentiles' home there and explaining to them more fully the gospel of Christ. And people criticized him up there at Jerusalem. And he told them that God had given the Gentiles the Holy Spirit, even as he had given us on the day of Pentecost. And so Peter said that he perceived that God was no respecter of persons. It is true that the Israelitish nation was God's chosen people in the Old Covenant, but in the New Covenant, God makes no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. All are sinners, and all must come to Christ to be saved from their sins, and whosoever will may come. Jesus did not live for self, but for the glory of God. He that sent me is with me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So we read in John 8:29. He was compassionate toward others. Jesus went out one evening and he saw a multitude of people there, and the Bible says he had compassion on them and he healed them. And we read Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So we read in Matthew 9:35-36. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion, and he healed them. So we read in Matthew 14:14. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we read in Ephesians 4:32. He was also a man of faith. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And this is talking about the tomb of Lazarus there. And his sisters were weeping over him. And he told them to remove the stone to the tomb. And they said, "Master, he's been dead for 4 days. His body stinketh." And Jesus said, take away that stone. And when they took away the stone, Jesus said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And so Lazarus stood there at the mouth of the tomb with still having his grave clothes on. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." That scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to be a Christian without faith. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it is a walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Above all, Jesus was a man who walked with God. And if we walk with Jesus, we too will walk with God. Where do you stand today? Are you walking with him? Our Father, we pray that you will bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741. And our email address is truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And we invite you to be with us in our services Sunday morning, 20 minutes before 11, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7. www.wayoftruth.org. And now we invite you to be with us next week for another Way of Truth broadcast.
I will sing of my